29 years of age, someone who's travelled the world, and interestingly enough, he seems to be able to do it for nothing. Now, we all should prick up our ears, because travel ain't cheap. Tommy Walker is his name. He knew he wanted to travel, lived in a small working-class town in northeast England. And now, 29 years old, he remembers dreaming of somewhere exotic, somewhere far, far away from here as a child. And I think far, far, far away from here is New Zealand. Anyway, Tommy Walker, he's on the line. Hiya, Tommy.
Hi, Joey. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm fascinated by you.
Are you? Okay. That's great. Yeah. I'm fascinated by you as well, too, sir.
Mutual fascination. Now,
absolutely.
So you've been travelling for how long?
I left England about, over 4 years ago. And I've been sort of backpacking Asia, Southeast Asia and India for the best part of a year. I lived in Australia for a couple of years and backpacked South and Latin America.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm in New Zealand, in Auckland, just a few hours away from you guys. So.
And where did you go? Where did you backpack in Australia? Did you get to South Australia?
I went to South Australia briefly, but I actually spent most of my time in Victoria. I went up to Sydney and brief stints in Perth, but I primarily sort of lived in and around Melbourne and just done some short trips in Australia. It's expensive. So, you know, my money and sort of trips elsewhere have been sort of more concentrated on the countries where the dollar and the pound last a little longer, you know, last a little further.
Yeah. Well, we've been going through the... I've been banging on about this backpacker tax in Australia for a long time because we know that you guys are likely to come and do the work that, for some reason, Australians don't want to do. That's the hard, back-breaking work of picking and doing that sort of harvesting work. Have you caught up with the fact that we are now, I think, almost competitive with New Zealand and Canada?
Yeah, I mean, what, in terms as far as the...
Yeah,
the
tax.
Goes.
Well, no, according to the tax, I mean, it's 19 cents in the dollar, as opposed to what I think they were trying to hit you with, which was about 33 cents in the dollar.
Right, yeah, but I thought the backpacker tax was changing in Australia. I knew initially that they were going to, you know, raise it, and then I was under the impression that it was going, you know, it was being changed. I, to be honest, I'm not sure. I'm not in Australia no more, so I'm just sort of focusing on New Zealand. But, I mean, look, yeah, there's obviously a lot of jobs, you know, in New Zealand and Australia where those backpackers like to come, and, you know, we all an adventure and save up some money, you know, and go travelling again. But
yeah, well, we need you guys. We really do need you guys, and particularly if we're talking about orchards and people who are growing things at this time of the year. Yeah, but the extraordinary thing is, do you ever get to a country doing your wonderful travelling? Do you ever find it hard to get a job, or is it always pretty easy?
Personally, myself, I've always sort of been okay with finding work. It's actually what inspiration my mother gave me. She said, you always find work no matter where you go. So I'm kind of relaxed by that. But, you know, obviously other travellers and backpackers come through and sort of they're looking as well. And, you know, in the end, people find work. Just, you know, whether it's good work or sort of less paid, there's always work, you know.
And that's how you finance your travelling? Or do you have another more secret plan? How do you do it?
I've been doing it in a multiple of ways. The initial way I started travelling was through a small inheritance, and then I started working some jobs in Australia, sort of a couple of jobs, which sort of, you know, the hours added up basically. You managed to save up a lot of money. Now I'm actually a freelance travel writer, so I do a lot of that for international companies in New Zealand, Australia, America, England, a lot of that, and that sort of helps me finance my travels at the moment, so...
So you've created your own little niche in a world that you want to live in, which is very clever.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, as far as travel writers and bloggers go, the normal sort of process is to sort of set your own blog up and sort of tell people about your travels and then sort of find freelance work. I've kind of done it the other way around.
Yeah.
I actually started reaching out to companies and sort of saying that I would write for them and things like that, and that sort of worked for me. And now, just recently, I actually launched my website, thewonderingwalker.com, You know, obviously I've got that project to build on as well. So it's exciting times. You know, I can write about the thing I love, and it sort of it gives me money for me to keep travelling. So.
Yeah. The Wandering Walker.
The Wandering Walker. Yeah, well, my last name's Walker, so I had to fit it in somewhere, you know.
No, it's sort of tailor-made. How long do you stay in one particular place? Do you have a game plan, or you just do it by virtue of how you feel on the day?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know...
What a life! You know,
well, yeah. I mean, part of travelling's freedom, right? So, you know, nothing has to be too organised. It shouldn't be too organised. You know, it should be... You know, if you've got the finance and the confidence to do that and sort of, you know, the contacts, you can sort of pick and choose how long you want to stay in a place. You know, if you're backpacking somewhere, you might just want to be in that country for a particular reason, for a particular activity or site. There might be places that you might find that you really fall in love with the culture and you just want to sort of hang back, you know, and sort of see what it's about. So,
see, but you haven't met someone or found a place that has caused you to say, this is it. This is going to be where I will spend my days. Nothing like that?
I don't know. Melbourne's awfully close, if I'm honest. It's awfully close, Melbourne and Australia. It's got my heart a little bit. Fantastic place to live.
When you were there, you didn't happen to see any wildebeest at the airport, did you, by any chance?
So, no, I didn't. What was that?
Wildebeest.
Wildebeest, no. I didn't, no.
Yeah, I understand. Have you been to South Africa?
I haven't been to South Africa. To be honest, Jeremy, Africa itself is actually a great sort of goal of mine. I actually want to try and travel Africa for a couple of years. And, you know, people say, where? And I say, well, everywhere. So South Africa is definitely on that list as well. I've got some friends in South Africa I'd like to catch up with. So that's definitely a goal in mind over the next couple of years for sure.
Mm-hmm. Are you travelling alone, or do you avoid relationships, or how does that work?
I do travel alone, but I mean, you know, as many travellers will tell you, especially if you're going solo,
yeah.
Sometimes it's very difficult to avoid the natural attractions that one might have to one another, and relationships can be sticky, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, you fall for someone, but you have your own goal and they have their own goal and their own ideas. So it's a tricky one. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm solo on the road and that's the way I prefer it, because I can decide where I want to go without any questions or any sort of, you know, any arguments, you know.
So it's like, sort of like ships in the night?
It's like ships in the night. It's the perfect way of describing it, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's is there a book at the end of all of this? I don't know. Of course, you can't sort of talk about the end, because this is... Do you plan on spending your whole life doing this, or are you going to do it for the next 10 years? Have you got any master plan?
Master plan? I mean, look, I'm 29 years old. You know, I've been doing it since my mid-20s. I mean, you know, with the stage I'm at now, you know, doing some freelance writing work and some media work, it is actually... been a slight goal of mine to sort of get into, you know, journalism, you know, maybe be like sort of, I don't know, a foreign correspondent or something, working with something that allows me to travel. But in terms of sort of seeing the world from a leisure point of view, and also to sort of write about my experiences, I mean, yeah, I haven't even got started, if I'm honest, to be honest. I want to do Africa, like I mentioned, you know, I want to go back to Latin America, the Middle East, Northeast Asia. You know, there's lots of places I want to see and explore still. So
I just found a bit of a bio here. It says you've been to Cuba. What was Cuba like?
Oh, Cuba was great. I actually was just there this year, a couple of months ago. You know, a beautiful place, like very classic. You know, you see the Chevys,
yes.
And, you know, and the sort of the old town, very sort of colonial sort of buildings, and, you know, that whole Latin Caribbean flair that Cuba has. You know, people puffing on cigars and smoking and drinking mojitos, very sort of romantic, as you can imagine. You know, it needs, and to be honest, local Cubans will tell you this, that it does need a paint job, because it's a bit run down, as you can, obviously.
A bit down at heel, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it is, yeah, and obviously, like, you know, they're just starting to make waves with America to sort of, you know, increase, you know, imports and things like that, and get the country back to a modern sort of, to a sort of modern way of living. So beautiful for the novelty, fantastic for that, and really an experience, really authentic and very different from most places I've been to. I encourage anyone to go there because it is within the next 5 years it'll be changing. You know, the Burger Kings, the Starbucks, they'll all be coming.
Yeah, everything changes even while you watch. But for young people, would you say, or for people generally, would you say the lifestyle is? Would you recommend the lifestyle? Your lifestyle?
I mean, look, I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Personally, I love to be on my own, and I love challenges, and I love sort of, you know, having something to aim at, and sort of, you know, the goods outweigh the bads. But with the influx of social media nowadays, people all think it's, you know, all hammocks and beaches.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, social media glamorizes our lives, but there is a lot of hardships in between. You know, maybe not as hard, you know, maybe not as major hardships as other things in life, but still, you know, you have to make quick decisions. You're in foreign environments. You know, the traveling itself is actually quite long. You know, the bad beds, and you know, like the carrying a backpack on you know, and dirty clothes, and just lots of different things. All travelers will tell you.
But you're not doing the 9-to-5 grind. I guess against that, you've got the freedom and you've got the wealth of experiences that you're going to run into. What about dangers? Are you quite, you know, sanguine about the world is not the safest place that you could possibly travel in?
Absolutely. I mean, look, weighing it up against the 9-to-5 life, you know, 9-to-5 is sort of, you have the routine and it's, you know, very much a organised way of living, and I understand there's hardships with that, and the stress of work and family and things like that can go into it. In terms of being dangerous in the world, I mean, absolutely. Look, I've been brought up in northeast of England, and if you know anyone from there, you know it's a pretty rough place to sort of be brought up, you know. So, you know, having that life experience is the norm, you know, and, you know, I come from a good family, but, you know, the environment can be pretty tough and, you know, sometimes vulgar, but having that experience is the norm. It sort of almost catapults you into a world with a little bit of no fear. And for me personally, it's been okay. I just take things as they come, and I always think there's always a way around things.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You do have to trust your instincts. I think your instinct is the biggest thing you have to trust. You can read so much in the media about this and that, but at the end of the day, you know, you just got to see how it is and trust your instincts. And you know, if you want to see the world, It's not meant to be easy, you know? It's not meant to be easy. If it was easy as going on holiday, and that's awesome, we all love a break, but travelling long-term, backpacking in some dangerous countries, some, you know, volatile countries, it's not meant to be easy. It's about the experience and the culture that you take with it.
Yeah. Well, it's good to talk to you, Tommy. Have safe travels.
And Thank you very much, Jeremy.
If you come to our neck of the woods, drop by and visit with us here in South Australia.
Absolutely. I think, we'll maybe do a in-studio interview or something like that.
Yeah, indeed. Tommy, good to talk to you.
Jeremy, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Your website is what?
It's thewanderingwalker.com. You can find me on Facebook, The Wandering Walker, and Instagram, The Wandering Walker. But yeah.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Tommy Walker, ladies and gentlemen.